Welcome to the Amei Ratzon Tefillah audio series with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Eliana Sohn Cohen, and today we will focus on the Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah, found in the Book of Yirmiyahu, chapter 31, verses 1 through 19. There's so much to say about these 19 psukim. You might recognize some of these as songs. Ko Amar Hashem Matzachein Bamidbar is one found in the beginning. And of course, the famous Rachel Mitvaka Al Baneha, Rachel crying over her lost children. Today we'll be focusing on themes related to another famous passage found here, and that is Haben Yaker Li Ephraim. Ephraim, my precious son, which is found at the very end of this passage, and also in the Zichronot, remembrance section of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Before we go into this pasuk in greater depth and delve into its themes, let's do a quick recap of the preceding psukim. First, Hashem speaks of his past with Bnei Yisrael when they followed him into the desert. His love was so overwhelming, and his direct expression of protection was clear to all, as he led the Jews from Mitzrayim onto the path to Eretz Yisrael. He loves us with an ahavat olam, an everlasting love. And even though now we are in Galut, His kindness never ceases, even if we can't always see it. Next, Hashem goes to speak about the future, and he tells how each and every Jew, no matter how far, disconnected, or disadvantaged, will find their way back to the land of Israel again. In particular, he mentions Har Ephraim, the northern kingdom of Israel, which was ruled by Ephraim. Even the northern kingdom, which was the first to be lost to the exile, will find their way back to Eretz Yisrael and to Torah. Am Yisrael will experience great happiness to the point of happy tears, according to Radak. The path will be straight without any stumbling along the way. Bnei Yisrael is a son to Hashem, whom he loves greatly, and even though the son has misbehaved, and Hashem has reprimanded the son, he anticipates bringing him back, bringing Bnei Yisrael back, to give them the most precious gifts and legacy of Torah and Eretz Yisrael. The young and the old will rejoice, the Kohanim will take up their service again, and have an abundance of karbanot to give, because Bnei Yisrael will feel so connected and be so joyous. As he's giving over this beautiful vision of the future, a cry is heard from on high, Rachel Imenu. She is still sad. She is still not consoled because in the present, her children are lost and they are not connected to their father the way she would like them to be. And she knows that they would benefit from greatly. In particular, some Mefarshim say she is referring to the northern tribes, the 10 lost tribes, which have been gone for so many thousands of years. Will they be saved too? Will they be brought back as well? Hashem assures her they are not, and that her efforts and advocacy for her children will be for the great purpose of bringing them back to their borders. They will return from foreign lands, leaving their foreign cultures and values behind them. I still hear Ephraim, Hashem says. I am still listening to him, and I hear his supplications. I hear his regret. I understand the soul-searching he has done, and that he's ready to do teshuvah. After all, Haben Yaker Li Ephraim. Ephraim is my precious son. Is he not? Whenever I speak of him, no matter his past, he is dear to me, and I remember him and I long for him, and I will take pity on him and bring him home. Now, why does Hashem remember Bnei Yisrael as Ephraim in this instance? Why does he refer to Bnei Yisrael as Ephraim in this instance? And to tie it back to Rosh Hashanah, why is this used in Zichronot? The simple answer is, Ephraim is the quintessential archetype of teshuva in the teshuva process. And when Hashem remembers us, he remembers us for the good and for the teshuva we do. It is never forgotten or fallen on deaf ears when it comes to Hashem. I'd like to take a few minutes to explore who Ephraim is in the Tanakh, in the various places that he's mentioned, and hopefully give us all a greater connection to this identity of ours as Bnei Yisrael, the identity of Ephraim. The first time we are introduced to the name Ephraim is when Yosef's son, Ephraim, is born. In Parshat Miketz, Yosef goes on and says, Ve'et shem hasheni kara Ephraim, ki ifrani Elokim be'eretz ani. The second son's name is Ephraim, because God made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Both Rav Hirsch and the Abarbanel say that this is Yosef's statement of loyalty, that even though he is able to flourish in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, his loyalty is still to Eretz Yisrael and to Torah and to his father Yaakov. However, other commentators say that this is also a great blessing, that Ephraim and his brother Menashe are the very first Jews to be born and raised in exile, and the very first Jews to stay true to their values in exile. Ephraim's name in particular is a nod to finding the good in the difficult, in blossoming even when it's hard. It is a nod to planting, growing, and innovating even when we are far from our soil, our homeland. Yosef was still able to be a tzaddik in Galut, and that is the legacy he'd like to pass on to his children. When Yaakov is on his deathbed, and he wants to bless Ephraim and Menashe, though Ephraim is the younger one, Yaakov places his right hand on Ephraim. Yosef thinks this is a mistake, but Yaakov insists this is no mistake. The lineage of Ephraim will be great. It will be varied, but it will always be an example to the Jews who are in exile, which is the reality for most of Jewish history thus far. Now, when I say that his lineage will be varied, I mean that there will be great people who come from him, and unfortunately, not such great people. There will be great examples of striving to be closer to Hashem, and there will be examples that are tragically not good examples of how to strive to be closer to Hashem. I will mention several of these, but I want you to remember that Ephraim is an archetype of teshuva, of intentions gone right and intentions gone wrong. Please keep that in mind as we look at these examples. The first example of striving gone right is Yehoshua. We know Yehoshua to be the excellent student of Moshe, one of the two Meraglim spies to go into Eretz Yisrael and not say Lashon Hara, negativity about the land of Israel. And ultimately, he is the one to lead Bnei Yisrael to conquer Eretz Yisrael after 40 years in the desert. Why is Yehoshua chosen to be this leader? He is chosen for his loyalty and his humility. He is the first one in the Beit Midrash and the last one to leave, the one stacking the chairs at the end of the day. He is humble enough to go into Eretz Yisrael and not say anything bad about it because he knows there is a bigger picture. He is chosen because he can relate to the people. He is chosen because he knows how to bring the people to Torah. He is a Talmud Chacham not only for his own growth, but to enable the growth of others. Loyalty, humility, leadership. These are all aspects of Ephraim that Yaakov noticed. Yehoshua embodied the strength of his tribe as the leader of Bnei Israel as it made the transformation from a people of Galut to a people of Eretz Yisrael. He strove for connection with God, and he succeeded. We're going to jump back a few generations, visiting a passage in Divrei Hayamim. Now, I want to say up front, there are varying opinions on this passage, and you are more than welcome to explore those. If you'd like to do so in English, I recommend the Art Scroll by Rav Moshe Eisenman. In Divrei Hayamim, chapter 7, Gnon, a descendant of Ephraim, claims to be sent by God to take the Jews out of Egypt. This is still during the time when Bnei Israel is enslaved by the Egyptians. His tribesmen believe him. After all, they are of royal blood, both from Yosef and in terms of their future as the northern tribe of Israel's king. They didn't want to be slaves anymore, and they decided, well, we're going to find a solution on our own. They managed to leave Egypt and get out, but unfortunately, they are met by enemies that decimate them. This interpretation by Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer goes hand in hand with the Mechilta that says that the brothers had promised Yosef that Bnei Israel would, and that their children would not try to leave Egypt before God's doing. This was not God's timing, and unfortunately, it was not a good ending for the children and the followers of Gnon. That being said, they are in earnest trying to change their relationship with God. They are trying to free themselves of the shibud, of the slavery that is keeping them from being free. While their intentions might not all have been noble, they were really trying. They were struggling. And I see this as part of the path of tshuva. We don't always know which way to turn and what to do. And sometimes it works out for the best. And unfortunately, sometimes it does not. And we have to reroute. Their intentions might have been in the right place, but the way they carried it out, unfortunately, was not. Lastly, I'd like to bring an example from the northern kingdom of Israel and its first king, Yeravam ben Nevat. When the kingdom of Israel split in two, one north and one south, the north was taken over by Yeravam ben Nevat, a descendant and tribesman of Ephraim. In an effort to keep his power, he created centers for Karbanot in the north, both in Dan and Beit El, which was not allowed, as Karbanot were supposed to be given in Jerusalem in the south kingdom. However, of course, as you can imagine, in trying to keep his power, he would rather his people give Karbanot that were not legitimate than go to Jerusalem and do it the right way. He is a good example of the rebellious Ephraim, the one who doesn't see the error in his ways, and who wedges himself deeper into Galut, further and further from Hashem. There are no good intentions here, and of course this ultimately leads Ephraim in the northern kingdom to be exiled, the 10 tribes who are still lost to this day. And yet, Ephraim is still a symbol of tshuva, of returning to God with no bounds. In Rambam's Hilchot Tshuva, chapter 2, paragraph 2, this Ephraim found in the Haftorah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, is given as the example of having charata, of being regretful of one's wrongdoings. Regret is a critical step of tshuva, in which we decide we're done. We're done with our old ways that keep us far from Hashem and far from our true selves. As shown through Ephraim, this can take a lifetime and generations on a national level. However, Hashem has no doubt. Haben yakher li Ephraim. Ephraim is my dear, precious son. Despite wrongdoings, despite struggling through an intense galut, Ephraim knows who he is. And Ephraim comes to a place of being regretful and being ready for his incredible fate of accepting his legacy and his values and appreciating them. Hashem knows that this Ephraim exists even when he's doing wrong. Hashem remembers the essence of Ephraim, which is to flourish and to blossom in his Avodat Hashem, whether in exile or in Eretz Yisrael, to flourish and to blossom amid struggle. That is teshuva. May we merit to do complete and full teshuva and to feel its effects. May we feel precious to Hashem this Rosh Hashanah. Thank you for learning together. This series has been dedicated by Yitzchak and Barbara Lehman Siegel in memory of their beloved mother, Rose Siegel, Sara Rasa Bat Rafael, and her beloved sister, Celia Feierstein, Cyril Bat Rafael of Baltimore, Maryland.